You know, I realized a couple of weeks ago that it's the 10th anniversary of our show, The Complete Millennium Musical Abridged, the CD of which is available at some of your finest record shops and at iTunes. And under its new title, The Western Civilization, The Complete Musical Abridged, is available to license and perform at your very own theater. So I was listening to the soundtrack CD, listening to the songs again, and they really hold up.
Can I get someone to testify?
John Lennon is dead and Michael Jackson's alive.
Baby. Ah, crap. Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 134, Our Writing Process. We're in the thick of it these days as summertime kicks in, and Reed Martin and I are busily writing our new stage show, in addition to several other writing projects. I put writing in air quotes or inverted commas because so much of what our writing is these days is list compiling and note-taking and website looking up and primarily thinking. So it's a bit grandiose to call what we're doing a process, but that's what it is. So Reed and I had a conversation via iChat this week to catch ourselves and you up on how it's going.
There are so many projects going on. It's good and bad. The good thing is when I sort of come to a dead end in one project, I switch gears and start working on something else, which I don't know if it solves a problem. It actually does seem, I'll take it back, it does seem sometimes when I come to a dead end, I work on something else, and it just gets my brain off in another direction, and then it seems like when I come back to the previous project, some of the blocks are gone. How about you?
Yes, it's funny, because I know, well, I am getting stuff accomplished, but it's not actual writing, but it's part of the writing process, because I'm in the thinking about it 24/7, and researching stuff on the internet, and watching sports movies and watching television in sort of kind of doing research for the TBS thing. So I'm definitely, but I haven't actually put fingers to keyboard to actually write a sketch or a scene. I've only just been taking notes and researching.
Well, when you were saying we were going to talk about our writing process today, it got me thinking, well, each show is a little bit different. I definitely have a process, but every time it's a little bit different. I've been thinking, the first thing I was thinking on the sports show was, what is the outline? What does it look like? And I think we've settled on an initial idea for that, which is always subject to change. Sometimes I can start writing, but I almost feel like I'm spinning my wheels. If I don't know where we're headed or what the concept is, it's harder. If we narrow the focus, it actually makes it easier for me. And so narrowing what sort of the concept of the show is and how we might approach it and what is our take on it, that helps. It's like when I'm writing an essay. Somebody told me early on, if I write the conclusion first, it makes the rest of it much easier. Because I can just go back paragraph by paragraph and saying, well, am I working towards my conclusion?
Well, and I have the same issue. Like, sometimes I'll say, all right, I know I got to write a baseball sketch, and I know kind of where it's going to go, but I won't know until I actually write it. And that's the other thing. Oftentimes, I won't know what I'm going to write until I discover it by actually writing it.
Yeah, I had the same thing. And I too, have been doing a lot of research. But in these 2 weeks, yeah, we've been talking, you and I have sent emails and had some phone conversations about, well, more definitely, what is the complete world of sports about? What does it look like? As we said, we're also thinking about the TBS special. Also, I have a separate project I'm writing, a clown show for Napa Valley College, which they're going to do in the fall. And so when I come to a dead end, I just go and research something else. But I've spent the majority of the last 2 weeks doing research, it sounds like what you're doing, going through, oh, what are all the various sports? What are all the various sports movies? What are the biggest sports blunders ever? What are the famous sports quotes? What are the most popular sports in all the various different countries and on like that. And so I have several pages of all kinds of lists, and that's generally the way I start any project, is I have lists and lists. Most of these will not end up being in the show, but sometimes they trigger something else. And when I have these long lists and then I need to start writing, I can go through and say, well, I have an idea how I might do this. And I'll start writing something and I can check that off. Mm-hmm. It's interesting with a sports show, the mainstream sports, I don't have a lot of ideas about. But the obscure ones do trigger a lot of ideas for me. I don't know. How about you?
Well, we're getting, because we're being so public about this entire writing process, we're getting such great suggestions from the people who contribute to our chat page on our forum, who follow us on Twitter, who send voice messages to the email, and who even follow me on Facebook. All these people are sending me all these odd videos about this and that, the other thing. And we joke about how the... about the show's going to write itself, and of course it really doesn't. But then they sent us this link to, somebody sent us a link to the world champion rock, paper, scissors, you know, competition. And, you know, all we need to do is that. And I think that moment has now just written itself.
Well, it's funny because a couple of years ago, Kian, my younger son, you know this, but everybody listening doesn't, Kian is my younger son. We were watching ESPN one afternoon. I guess there wasn't much going on, and they showed the National Rock Paper Scissors Championship, Rochambeau, and we've been laughing about it ever since. So it's funny that then we get a link to the thing and go, "Well, that needs to be in the show." It almost seems like the mainstream sports have been handled so much in so many different ways,
right,
that maybe these obscure things are the way to go. But it's early days; it's hard to know.
It still is very early days. Now, do you have a routine? Do you have a time of? I'm fascinated by what other writers do, and I know some of what you do, but not a lot. Do you have a special place where you go to write? Do you have times of the day where you are your most productive? I've got to have a shot of whiskey before I type my first word, or, you know, do you have any sort of rituals or way you do things?
Smack, not whiskey. I need to set time aside to sit down and just write. I can't sort of plan it that it'll happen casually. So the house with two young kids in the summertime is busy. Even when they're in school, it's busy, with neighbors coming by and the phone ringing. So Joanne Nagel, who works for the RSC part-time, is our in the finances, has an office. And a lot of her work takes place out of the office. So when I'm doing serious writing, I find out what her time away from the office is, and I schedule time to go over there and write. Late morning to early afternoon is my best time. Early in the morning isn't too great. Late morning, and then have a lunch break, and then early afternoon is great. And by the time we get to maybe, 3:30 or 4, I'm kind of done.
So sort of late morning. I have the, when we're writing, and so you've got, we've got these two, the TBS pilot, the stage show, and then we've got two other projects that we're writing but they're kind of on spec yet. We don't know that we're going to get the one job, and we don't know whether the other job is actually going to turn into something real. So we're sort of working on that, researching that, watching the videos for that. And then you have your clown thing. D and I are writing two things. So there's all this stuff, and because I've got so much going on that way, I actually love it, because it's this is the time when I always get, I wake up at like 5:30 every morning now. Just going, oh yeah, I got to get up and write this. And so my most productive time is usually if I can get up and write for a couple of hours, either before the kids are off to school or before they're up making a lot of noise or before lunch, I can get quite a bit accomplished. And then sort of late in the afternoon, when my brain isn't really working, that's when I can go back to the internet and start researching, continue researching, or go watch just great sports movies. That's always my favorite part of the research.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to our live broadcast of the first annual Monarch Cup featuring Shakespeare's monarchs from King John to Henry VIII. If you're just joining us, I'm Brock Davenport, bringing you all the exciting play-by-play action. Joining me here in the broadcast booth is my partner since the 12th century, Dick Bungalow. Welcome aboard, Dick.
Thanks, Brock. It's certainly great to be here, and it is a beautiful day here at Wembley Stadium.
It certainly is, Dick. We'll be joined periodically by sporadic reports from our scattered colleague, Skippy Semi-Detached, down on the field. Say hi, Skippy.
Hi, Skippy.
Well, Dick, I'm here to tell you the first annual Monarch Cup promises to be a sport spectacular.
You're telling me, Brock. I can't tell you how excited I am. I'm beside myself.
No, I'm not.
Yes, I am.
Well, you've got good reason to be schizophrenic. The Monarch Cup is the mother of all sport competitions. It is the pinnacle.
The peak.
I know what pinnacle means.
Sorry?
The acme, the apex, the zenith. It would not be inaccurate to say that in this match there is no tomorrow. Sudden death here is not a cliche. It is a fact of life. Uneasy is the head that wears the crown.
A stitch in time saves nine. A rolling stone gathers no moss.
You can't have your cake and eat it too.
Hi, this is Rick Lombardo, Artistic Director at the San Jose Repertory Theater, and I'm a big fan of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you are listening to the RSC Podcast.
Where can you see the RSC? Well, this summer of 2009, the only place to see the RSC live is in Singapore at the Drama Center Theater from July 28th till August 2nd. Then, starting in September... On September 8th, you can see us for 2 weeks in Hong Kong, then on to two cities in Iowa, three cities in North Carolina, Houghton, Michigan, Walnut Creek, California, and two cities in Wisconsin, including a 2.5-week run for the holidays in one of our favorite college towns, Madison, Wisconsin. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for more venue and ticket information. And now back to Reed Martin and I talking about our extravagantly dubbed writing process.
And so do you have to set time aside, or you just some mornings wake up and say, no, I need to write now, or when you're working on a project, you just pretty much wake up? Do you write on weekends?
Yeah, I do. I write whenever I have the time, whenever I'm on a project, I'm working a 7-day week. I, you know, being self-employed like this, I never feel like I can take a 40-hour week. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like I got whatever, however many weeks, or 7 times 24, that's my week. So I work crazy stupid hours, but then I don't feel bad if I go see a movie in the middle of the day, because I know I've been up since 5 or I'm going to bed at 1, you know.
Well, I don't think it's for me. It wouldn't be possible to write 8 hours a day, even 5 days a week. It's in bits and pieces, so I couldn't, for instance, I wouldn't be very productive if I went to an office from 9 to 5 and tried to write every day. And it's my impression most writers can't sit down and write for 8 hours.
No, they can't. But that's the other part of the writing process is the researching, the thinking about it while you're doing the dishes. when I'm doing the dishes or when I'm shaving and taking a shower, that's when my biggest, greatest epiphanies reach me. And then I can't wait to get back to the computer to get it down.
I was just going to say, I think we've left out the key component of writing a new show is advice from our spouses. Isn't that right?
You know what? You have to say that because Jane listens to the podcasts. Dee doesn't listen to the podcast, so I don't have to give her any props at all.
No, it was said sarcastically.
But yes, we do. We do run it by the wives, and they often have very helpful thoughts. The other thing I realized is that I don't quite make as many lists as you do, but I do put together just these random thoughts and ideas. But I noticed as I was going back through them, they tend to take the form of what would my character do? What would Reed's character do? Here's a moment for the, you know, the Croak Dominic Adam Long Manchild character. I'm always trying to figure out, well, what's the human component? The human component for the three guys, because you know we've seen productions of our scripts done by other non-RSC people, and I think we found that one mistake that they make is that they feel like they got to be funny wacky, you know, the entire time, but the flip side of that is that they don't get they don't get the real relationship among the three guys. Mm-hmm. That's what's missing in a lot of non-RSC productions of our scripts, I think. And I think that because I'm realizing that so many of my notes are about, oh, well, how can Reed's character and my character come into conflict about the issue of sports? And how can the two of us come into conflict with the man-child, or how can me and the man-child come into conflict with you? It's always these shifting two against ones, shifting allegiances, shifting alliances, shifting statuses of how we get through the topic that we're covering.
Well, I had, along those lines, I was just in the last day or two, I was thinking, I wonder if one of the characters within the show really does not want to do a sports show, which it sort of goes against our general consensus is we're all in this together and off we go, but that one of them just thinks sports is a waste of time, which the other two think, well, yeah, that's exactly the point. or they agree to go along, but it needs to be chess, you know.
Yeah.
And we need to discuss why is eating money as, I don't know, but that was occurring to me.
Well, and the thing that was occurring to me too is that I feel somehow that my whatever geek nerd credentials I have are going to be found to be wanting in this, because the true geeks and nerds are the ones who do fantasy baseball and online fantasy football. You know, they pay those the guys who pay attention to the statistics and argue about which player should be traded for which player. I mean, those guys, that's a Dungeons and Dragons level of nerdism that I can't even aspire to.
Well, I think you've just come up with a scene.
I think a scene and a possibly conclusion.
Well, that the person who doesn't want to do the show, the character, is being accused of being a geek or a nerd. Sports are fantastic. I mean, and then the sports fanatic turns out to be the biggest geek of all.
Yes,
a
exactly.
Geek or nerd. That was a podcast, right? I can't remember.
That was a podcast. And basically, the difference seems to be that geeks get it done. But geeks also have Dave Shepard, our friend at the Word Nerds podcast, also explained it, that geeks, there's a technical gadget component to geekdom. So, you know, looking up baseball statistics in the paper is being a nerd. Looking it up on your iPhone is a geek.
All right. Well, there's plenty of both in my league. or I must embarrassingly say leagues.
Leagues. Ah, leagues. But it's funny that, you know, I'm Wimbledon's about to start now, and I'm not a huge tennis fan. But I'll always watch the
final. No, you're normal sized.
Yeah, I'm normal. I'm average sized.
Yeah.
But I will watch the finals of almost any sport that comes up. But I'm realizing, oh, you know what? I got to start watching the semis here in Wimbledon. I got to stay au courant.
Well, that's another thing that I did. I spent an hour one day going through online all the TV listings for ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN Deportes, Fox Sports, Comcast, you know, .net. Just again, making lists. What is it that people are watching? What kind of shows are on there besides the actual event and the sports news? They fill up with all kinds of things: old sporting events,
right.
People sitting around talking about sports,
right.
Biographies of athletes. It's fascinating.
You know what else I'm finding really fun is that as we tweet about this and talk about it on the podcast, and even just in talking about it with my friends. Everybody knows exactly what we're talking about. Everybody has an opinion about sports, and everybody and some people are more passionate than others. There are the fans who are really fanatics. I mean, really, this might be the most accessible show we've ever written. Because,
well, it's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting that one of the takes on it that you and I have discussed, what is our point of view, is it's taken too seriously for what it is. And it's interesting, our last show, Hollywood, was about movies which nobody seems to take very seriously, very few people seem to take very seriously.
Right.
And we had to say, well, why is this so important? Sports, for many, many people, sports is very, very important.
Yeah. It's what'd you say? It's not life or death. It's more important than that.
Yeah, that's one of the famous quotes. Yeah, along with Yogi Berra on Yogi Berra night at Yankee Stadium, he thanked everyone who made this night necessary.
That's it for this week's Reduce Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your writing process via email to feedback@reduceshakespeare.com. You can interact with other fans at our website, reduceshakespeare.com. Just click on forum. You can also find us at facebook.com, myspace.com/reduceshakespeare. Become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, pencil sharpener Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. You heard an excerpt from the Reduced Shakespeare Radio Show, which is available from iTunes. Our random fan shout-out this week, just in time for the 4th of July, goes to Pauline Revere, which means, obviously, that this week's random fan shout-out isn't entirely random. Special thanks to Rick Lombardo, the new artistic director of the San Jose Repertory Theater in San Jose, California. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 134 400 seconds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less.